Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Verse 6, so you can laugh and have fun in church, but let's get down to the serious business. 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want to preach just for a few moments on the subject, 'Twas the Day After Christmas. You may be seated. How many of you had a great Christmas? It was just awesome. It was blessed. I'm not going to ask the other group. It'll get better in Jesus' name. I love Christmas. I love the whole Christmas season. Bishop said it in the earlier service, and I encourage you, when that podcast gets uploaded, that's like the volume one. Today's volume two. We didn't plan it, but it goes so good together. But people are usually nicer around Christmas. Everybody's in the Christmas spirit. And I like the Christmas season. I like it going all the way back to Thanksgiving, which is kind of like the kickoff to holiday season. My birthday's in October, and so like October 14th through December 25th, that's my time of the year. I absolutely love the holidays. I love family. I love tradition, all of those things. However, if I'm giving full transparency this morning, December 26th, which is today, is my least favorite day of the entire year. Got real quiet. I thought there'd be a couple amens. Because Christmas is over. The gifts are unwrapped. All of your family's gone home. Maybe that is a good thing. Work starts tomorrow morning. School starts back in a few days. And so on this side of Christmas, a lot of times it can get kind of like, well, it was good, but now what? What do we do? I was reading, and statistics say that December 26th is one of the saddest days of the entire year. Because people lean in and the expectation of all the good things, whether they are real believers or not, all of the good things that come with Christmas. I've never seen a generation get so excited over pumpkin spice than this generation. More excited about pumpkin spice than people coming to church. More excited about PS5s than people coming to church. Will wait in line in their car for hours to drive through Windcrest. But if they can't find 5 minutes to come to church, they just say, well, we'll go after everything calms down after the holidays. So we're here, we're after the holidays, and Christmas is over. I think my view of December 26th stems from when I was a child, when I was a kid, and all of my cousins would go home, and the monumental day that we had been waiting for and counting down for so long when I was a kid, man, we started counting down in September and October. And we'd be tearing off chains and all these kinds of things, pointing to that one day, all for it to fly by and you find yourself on the 26th. Whether or not it lived up to the hype or expectation, it, whatever it was over. There is a famous poem titled, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. That's actually what it is known by. The actual title is A Visit from St. Nicholas. But it is better known by the opening line, 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.' Traditionally, Clement C. Moore, a 19th century scholar at the General Theological Seminary in New York, has been credited with writing this poem for his children in 1822. This poem was written, when you read the reason he wrote it, it was to build expectation within his children that there was a Santa Claus, a Saint Nicholas that would be coming by. And really, when we look at it as parents, it is a manipulation tool to make your kids act right for at least a couple months out of the year. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. So it builds expectation for the arrival of Santa Claus and all of the gifts that he would bring when he shows up. The Christmas story in the Word of God does the same thing. Because the Christmas story builds faith and expectation for the arrival of Jesus Christ. For not only his arrival, but all the gifts that come when he shows up. But Living Way, in the room and online today, I want to encourage you, there is so much more to celebrate than just the arrival of Jesus one time in December. We might celebrate his arrival in a manger, but I celebrate the fact that he grew up and the manger is now empty. We celebrate that he worked miracles then and he still works miracles now. We celebrate that Jesus went to a cross to finish his assignment and that salvation was made possible for anyone and everyone. We celebrate that the tomb could not hold him and that he unleashed resurrection, power, and life. We celebrate that he sent his Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and empower us. We celebrate that he stands at the right hand of God the Father today and he prays for us. And I'm celebrating today that he's still speaking, he's still moving, and he's ready to do the impossible today. Don't get me wrong, I am so excited that he came. That's Christmas. But on December 26th, here we are a day later. I don't know where the wise men went, but I know where I am. I don't know where the shepherds are anymore, but I know where we are. And the reason we're here today, and listen, today is a greater day than Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve, he hadn't shown up yet. Christmas Day, he shows up, and here we are a day later. We're back in church. Why? Because it's not the fact that he came, but that he stayed long enough to make things right. We do ourselves a massive disservice when we make our relationship with Jesus event-driven. Let me say that again. We do ourselves a massive disservice when we make our relationship with Jesus event-driven. You say, what are events? Jesus is bigger than Sunday morning from 11 to 12:30. Bigger than Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. Jesus is so much bigger than any conference, any youth camp. Jesus is bigger, even the valleys of your life, that's an event. The peaks of our life, that's an event. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is bigger than all of those things. He is looking for an everyday relationship. That is the goal. Going through the highs and lows with him. Talking to him and him talking to you. Living Way, sharing vision with God and allowing God to speak vision into your life. Daily worship, daily service, growing in him. This is cliche, and it might even be considered corny, and I've seen it on 100 church signs, but God wants full custody, not just weekend visitation. Some of us treat God like he's our stepfather, and we go to him on the weekends, and then we go back to regular life Monday through Friday. God is not a Monday through Friday God, and he's not a Sunday God. He's an everyday God. David would say it like this in the 68th Psalm, "Blessed be the Lord who loads us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation, who daily loads us." David was a man of extreme highs and extreme lows. He was a man that slayed Goliath with one stone and a slingshot, but he was also the man that committed adultery, and then to cover up his sin, he had her husband killed. He was a man that did a lot of great things, but a lot of low things. However, his relationship with God is what pulled him through the lows and kept his ego in check during the highs. Can I encourage you? Jesus is not in a manger today. Jesus is in my heart today. Jesus is sitting on the throne of my life today. He doesn't want to just hear from you in worship on Sunday. He wants to talk to you about the hell that breaks loose Monday. He wants to talk to you about every relationship you're in, everything that you put your hands to. Wants to talk to you about your job, your mental state, your purpose, your in-laws, your outlaws, every kind of law you can get, he wants to talk about. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This prophecy in Isaiah, I love this. Is such a powerful prophecy. However, those at the Nativity did not hear all of the prophecy. They showed up and they saw Jesus. They even showed up in some cases with gifts for Jesus. But the day after Christmas, the wise men had gone back east. The shepherds had gone back to their fields. The manger that had held Jesus was now filled with corn and wheat for all of the livestock. And all of the excitement of that day had already disappeared because everybody was looking for him to come. But when he didn't come like they thought he would come, there was no worship. There was no celebration. No one even stayed the night for the second day. You know, I love that Jesus came to the most unlikely city in the most unlikely place in the city. But I'd never thought about this before. The people that show up at the Nativity, you have the rich of the rich, the wise men of the East. You have those that are blue collar, those that are working in the fields. You've got the farmers, you've got the poor, you've got the shepherds. You've got the shepherds that were of Jewish descent. You've got the other nationalities and other races represented in the wise men. You've got every race that would come out of those people. Every race is represented there in some form or fashion at the Nativity. Every social background is represented there at the Nativity. And so I don't want to tell you, and I don't want to argue with you on what color Jesus was, because Jesus was olive skin, dark eyes, black hair. He didn't have an English accent like they have in the movies. He wasn't blonde hair and blue-eyed. He didn't look like that. But when Jesus shows up, every nationality, boom, shows up. Every social, I'm not here to argue all of those things. All I know is when Jesus shows up, every type of background was showed up in just those five or six men that showed up at the Nativity. But they never got past, "For unto us a child is born." They never got past that a son had been given. They never got to the place that there was a government that was on that little baby's shoulders. Come on, church. They never got to the Jesus that was a wonderful counselor. They never got to the Jesus that was a mighty God. They saw a little swaddled 8-pound, 6-ounce Jesus, and in their mind, they couldn't get past that this was a gift, but he wasn't a God. He was gifted, but he was God. Here they see him. They never see him as the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's talk about 'twas the day after Christmas for the wise men. That was a long trip for them. Bible history and Bible scholars estimate that it took several months for them to get to Bethlehem. Some would say it actually took several years for them to get to Bethlehem. That means as long as it took them to get to Bethlehem, that's as long as it would take them to get home. How many of you know when you're going somewhere on a road trip, it seems a lot shorter than on your way home? I've driven to Disneyland twice in the past 6 years. I will never do it again. Going to it, everybody's hype, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And listen, when you go on vacation with Mandy, it's a job, y'all. She's got every minute planned out. I'm just getting over my Achilles tear, and we go to Disney World a couple months ago, and we walk 45 miles in 5 days. Actually, they walk 45 miles. I did this for 45 miles. But going to Disney World when the kid, we were all hype about everything that was going to happen. What was it? Expectation for an event. But when it was over, that car ride home, we had to pray through 10 or 12 times. We had to lay hands on the kids. They had to lay hands. I remember one trip, we drove from here to Cleveland, Ohio, up to Cedar Point. That's about, I think that's about 18-hour drive, and me and Mandy are the only ones driving. And on the way up, man, we're just hitting it, and nobody's complaining. We're excited. On that way home, we got about to Round Rock, and about every 15 minutes, we had to change drivers. We're just so tired. Why? Because it was over. And our expectation of our next, listen to this, was less than what we just came out of. Why did they leave the Nativity? They left the Nativity, and they were sad going back east, the wise men. Months of travel to get back, but this time they didn't have gold and frankincense. This time Jesus was not waiting on the end of their journey. The wise men thought their best was behind them. But Jesus always says the best is in front of us. There was a great gift exchange that day. The wise men gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But they didn't really receive the gift that was given to them. They came to give him a gift, but they received the greatest gift, Jesus. They didn't know what that gift was. Verse 12 of Matthew 2 says, and being warned of God in a dream, the wise men did not return to Herod, but they departed into their own country another way. Being in the presence of Jesus will always change you. Listen to this, church. Being in the presence of Jesus will always change you. You sitting here today, watching online, you are in the presence of Jesus, and it will change you for a moment. How does it transform you when you are not only in his presence, but his presence is in you? These wise men were in his presence, but they never allowed his presence to be in them. They had enough Jesus to change their way home, but didn't have enough Jesus to change their home. You say, how do you know that? We never hear from them again. We don't hear of a revival out east that breaks out when these wise men herald the coming of Jesus. And let me tell you what happened. We gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and he was just a toddler, but the Shekinah glory filled that place, and God ministered to us, and we're no longer going to look to the stars, and we're not astrologists, and we're not going to look to the astronomy, but we are now followers of Jehovah God, and this Jesus has changed our life. The government will be on his show. They didn't say none of that. They went back to life as usual. Wednesday night, great crowd. Wednesday night's crowd was bigger than our crowd today. Why is that tradition? People were excited about an event. They're still acting like Jesus is still being born in Bethlehem. Listen, we're just celebrating his birth. That happened 2,000 years ago. I'm celebrating not the fact that he came only. I'm celebrating the fact that he lives in my life today. And I don't want him to just change me while I'm here. I've got real life going on outside the four walls of this church. I've got health things that I deal with. I've got relationship things that I deal with. I've got mental things that we all deal with. And we've got to know that Jesus, I don't need you in the manger visiting you one time. I need you to go home with me. Don't just change the way I go home. Change my home. Change my life. Change my family. Change my marriage. Change their way home, didn't change their home. God gave this to me. Your life can change in one day, one moment. But your life must be built over a lifetime. When you come to this altar in just a few moments and you repent of all of your sins, you know what happens? You change direction. You're still this close to who you used to be. But the fact that you're heading in a new direction, the fact that you are not like you used to be, come on, somebody. You can have your life changed in this altar in the snap of a fingers. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some hard work. It's going to take some days where friends leave you because of the new you. It's going to take things. It's going to take you being stretched and molded and made uncomfortable. But I am here to tell you, I don't want to go home and everything change back to how it was in just a few days. Lord, I met you at the manger, but God, I want to follow you the rest of my life. With Jesus, your best is now, your best is next. The wise men felt that their best was behind them. The shepherds had their day after Christmas. Wasn't as long of a trip, but 'twas the day after Christmas, and the shepherds went right back to the fields, right back to being shepherds. When you look at shepherds in the Old Testament, shepherds were used to living a life of being overlooked, underappreciated, unwanted, and in some cases were outcasts of society. You said, prove that. The king of Israel named David was overlooked, underappreciated, and was an outcast by his own family to the point that when the man of God says, is this all of your sons? He made excuses as to why he didn't bring David. I'm sure that someone in this building or watching online, you might be disappointed that the holiday season is over. It meant something special. It was great to be around friends and family, eating great food, exchanging gifts, but just for a little while, and then it faded. But now that that's over, you're back to your normal, and things are just empty again. Can I encourage you, let's quit going back to anything. Quit saying, when is our nation going to get back to normal? We were never normal to begin with. Come on now. In your mind, this nation was a lot better 2 years ago than you remember. Oh, but we didn't have COVID. No, we didn't have this. We were always messed up. There was always issues. And a lot of times, nostalgia is one of the most poisonous things you can have because you're always looking at, I wish we could go back, and I wish we could get, I'm not trying to get back. I'm trying to get better in Jesus' name. I don't want it to go back to normal. I want God to do a new thing in Jesus' name. And when Jesus shows up on December 25th and Jesus is born in Bethlehem, he is not wanting Bethlehem to go back. He is not wanting shepherds to go back. He is not wanting Mary and Joseph to go back. He said, I came to this world to seek and save that which is lost. He said, I split the timeline BC, AD. I don't want anybody's life going back to how it was before I showed up. Once you said yes to Jesus, your life should have shifted. Let's quit going back. The Bible said, and suddenly there was an angel, there was a multitude of angels of the heavenly host, Luke 2:13. Praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which comes to pass. They have no clue what's going on. They just call Jesus a thing. You think pronouns, he, her, him, they are a problem. You've got the first nativity visitors. Aren't even talking like Jesus is a person, let alone Savior and King. Come on, somebody. Let us go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. There is a danger, church, in seeing Jesus, but never receiving Jesus. They saw him, but we never hear from the shepherds again. And you can tell me all you want. Well, I believe that they followed Jesus from afar. And I believe they were there at the 5,000 when he fed them with fish and loaves. And I believe they were there at the cross. You can't prove that. I don't know if they ever saw Jesus again or if they just stayed out in the middle of nowhere like they had before, nothing having changed when they found Jesus. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The Bible says, in swaddled clothes you will find him. Just like God to give us the gift, Jesus, and wrap him up. The only Jesus they ever saw was a swaddled Jesus. They never unwrapped him to see the crucified Jesus, the risen Jesus. Jesus is not just a figurine in the nativity. Jesus is God in flesh. And he came to us not so that we could decorate a tree and exchange gifts and get a holiday or Christmas bonus and go right back to life as usual December 26th. I am here to tell you December 26th is greater than December 24th because Jesus is here and he is here to stay. And when his physical life was done, he said, I will send you a comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to show up. And the same Spirit that raised me from the dead now will be a part of your everyday life. One more. Mary and Joseph. Luke 2 verse 42. Fast forward 12 years, and Jesus was 12 years old and went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind them in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Mary and Joseph were the only people on December 26th that stayed with Jesus. They cared for Jesus. They knew that they had a promise from God. They knew that this baby had changed their lives and not just 2 a.m. feedings and 4 a.m. diaper changes. The song Mary, Did You Know is true, that she knew that she had the Son of God, the one that would right every wrong, that would cover the sin of this world with his precious blood. And so for the first year, nobody could hold that baby. Come on, moms, you remember what it was like, your first baby. You wouldn't let nobody hold him. Nobody was good enough to babysit. You get that second one, and you'll leave him down there with a guy changing your oil. If you watch him for a little bit, I got to get me some peace. Year two comes along. Year three comes along, and suddenly that baby that was so precious to them, they don't keep quite as good of an eye on him as they should. Fast forward 12 years. later, and they're in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, they lose Jesus. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. They didn't have any problem December 26th, 27th, 28th. For 12 years, they carried Jesus with them. They always knew where he was, who he was with, what they were doing, who was around him, who had access to him. But 12 years later, they drop their guard and they lose Jesus. Verse 44, they supposed he was in the company. He had been in the company. When a day's journey, they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. The difference, church, between Mary and Joseph and the wise men and shepherds is they went back and they looked again. The Bible says they sought. The Bible says they looked. Halfway back, the wise men of the east knew that nothing had changed in their life other than their route home. We don't go on to see them do great things. They don't go on to write part of the New Testament. They don't go on to become apostles and become some of the first Gentiles to receive Christ. None of that happens. And I would like to believe that they start a revival in the east, but we don't hear that. Why? Because after their life went back to normal, the adversary tricked them that what they had experienced had never really happened. The shepherds went back to tending their flocks. They had seen the Lamb of God, and now they're just back to watching plain old sheep. And in Bethlehem, they could have went back very easily that next day to say, hey, where are you going? Give me an address because we'd like to come and worship. We'd like to follow this Jesus as he grows older. They first looked for Jesus with family, and then they went back to the last place they knew that they had him. My friend said this the other day on his podcast. In moments of uncertainty, go back to your most recent place of clarity. In moments of uncertainty, go back to your most recent moment of clarity. And I encourage you, as we get ready to go into 2022, there's going to be some uncertainty. There's going to be some trials for our faith. But I'm here to tell you, if you will always go back, the last certain place I had was that talk with Jesus. The last certain place I had was that time when I was worshiping and God filled the room. That is why worship has to happen every day of our life, church. That is why devotion has to happen every day of our life. That's why we got to show up at church not just once a year, but at least once a week, if not like most of us, two or three times a week. Why? Because this life is so uncertain. I want to make sure that the certain thing called Jesus is not lost on me. That I don't go on in life without him, and my life doesn't get back to a normal that I forget what he's done in my life. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where we started. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The wise men stopped short. The shepherds stopped short. They came to see the child. They brought gifts. They admired. They honored. They celebrated. But they didn't hear the next part, and the government shall be on his shoulder. See, if they would have knew that he was going to be a king, they would have quit their jobs and followed him that moment. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. They never saw Jesus for more than just a baby. How can you ever go back to watching sheep when you've stood at the foot of the Lamb of God? How can you ever go back to collecting gold, frankincense, and myrrh as a wise, rich man of the East when you have had the gift of Jesus given to you? And after 7 to 9 months of travel, you found him, you bestowed those gifts, and I believe had a moment with their Creator and future Savior, and they just go back. Life as usual. Tomorrow, Monday, December 27th, is not a normal day. If you want it to be normal, that's all it will ever be. If you want it to be like it was, that will all it will ever be. But for some of us, we're going to wake up. When we wake up, I love this. When I woke up this morning before Mandy said hello, I opened my eyes and I saw that God had let Mercy in. Mercy was sitting on my foot of my bed. It's fresh every morning. Grace had come in. What are we talking about? Not a new normal, a better normal. Not back to normal, back to better in Jesus' name. Why? Because he's not a baby in a manger. The manger, just like the cross, is empty. If Jesus is still in a manger, we're all in trouble. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not in the manger. He grew up. He did incredible things, was tempted at every point to sin, just like we are, but did not succumb to any of those temptations, lived a perfect life, went to slaughter as a lamb, didn't even open up his mouth, and he paid the price for us so that we could stand here on this side of the manger and say, Jesus, I feel like living for you and with you every day of my life. If you'll stand on your feet right now, if you'll lift hands all over this building, if you know what we're talking about today, maybe I encouraged you in some way. Maybe the word of God inspired you, but I know there's a lot of believers here today. Can I encourage you? We need to get past church as normal. We need to get past services as normal. I want to have those services where 200 or 300 people all get saved, where 400 or 500 people get filled with the Holy Ghost, where we get 10 people healed of cancer in one service. All that can happen when we get Jesus out of the manger and get Jesus off of the cross and get the Holy Ghost out of the upper room. We are not event-driven. We are relationship. We are about Jesus. We are about him taking the number one place in our lives. I was astonished because I've always just parroted this statistic. Give me 60 seconds and we'll be done. I've always parroted this statistic, and I actually did some research in December 26th, that the holidays is the highest rate of suicide. Simply not true. September and October are the highest months for suicide. Because people want to do it before they get to the holidays, so that funerals are over, so that their families can move on. But they hold on during the holidays because everything seems to change for a moment. They might even smile and laugh around the Christmas tree, singing jingle bells and thinking about baby Jesus. Become December 26th, the depression that they left December 19th is still there. The addiction that they thought they had it under control, it's still there. But I've got good news for you. All of that might still be there, but Jesus is still there. And he's ready to wreck your life in the best way possible. 180 degrees, flip it upside down. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that need Jesus more than just one day this year. Maybe you're going through something right now. You're not going to have to tell us what you're facing. You don't have to confide everything. I love the fact that here in these past few services, young people have been the first one to respond to these altar calls. Young people moving out in faith saying, hey, that's me. I want Jesus every day. I want Jesus all day. I know my life is not going to be perfect, but I know I can make it with Jesus. I'm getting him out of the manger. I'm getting him out of the cross. I'm getting him out of the upper room, and I'm getting him in my house, in my life, in my heart, in my mouth. Jesus, right now, God, I thank you for those that have come to this altar. I thank you, God, for an influx of young people, for an influx of families, God. Lord, I know some of these families, God, they're just now starting on their faith journey. But I know, God, that even just starting on their faith journey, God, that you are showing them things, God, that have transformed their life. More than just a day, more than just a moment, they're investing their lives. If you're at your seat right now, I want to encourage you. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about January 1st. We've still got 5 days. Don't think about your upcoming job tomorrow. Don't think about school restarting. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about this question. What have I done with Jesus? Have I trivialized him to a holiday in December or April? Have I trivialized him to a genie, a get out of jail or get out of hell or get out of trouble free card? Maybe you don't have the relationship that I'm talking about. Can I just tell you, 2021 has been trying for me personally. And out of that has come growth. But in that, there's been days that weren't Sunday and Wednesday that I called on Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I'm going to need you to touch me. I'm going to need you to heal me. I'm going to need you to speak to me. Lord, my mind is trying to play tricks on me, and I know that's of the devil. Fear has tried to show. I know that's not right. How do I overcome that? Daily relationship with Jesus. Daily relationship with Jesus. If you're in this house today and you've never said yes to Jesus,